gospel, albeit a bit long, is a trilogy of lost and found parables. Now, the definition of lost is to come to be without something in one's possession or care, through accident, theft, or whatever, so that there is little or no prospect of recovery. To fail inadvertently to retain something in such a way that it cannot be immediately recovered, and to suffer the deprivation such as one's job or to lose one's life. In 1988, ex-Beatle George Harrison wrote a song that contained the verse, "And if you don't know where you are going, any road will take you there." As Christians, we need to chart our course for salvation early and monitor it daily, so as to keep from straying from the path for fear of becoming lost. But it seems for us humans to lose something or to become lost is a rather frequent occurrence that we find ourselves suffering anguish, desperation, fear, stress, and anxiety, while we desperately search for what has gone missing. You know, here's a partial list of things we likely will lose at some time in our lives. Now just think of the physical and mental state you're in once you have discovered that something is missing. Your wallet, keys, glasses, your cell phone, your credit card, that winning lottery ticket. Job loss, where did I park my car? A loved one, your pet, a close friend, your child in a crowd, your mind, your sense of humor, a relative who has walked away from the church, your dignity and reputation, passion for a loved one, your faith, and the road to salvation. Now, pause a moment, clear your mind, and think how your mind and body reacts and responds when what was lost is found. Happiness, celebration, relief, joy, and excitement. Such as finding a new friend, a new job and career, a new love and passion. That relative hearing the call to return to church and to Christ. Finding yourself there. Finding your child at the mall. Finding a new direction, focus, and purpose in life. And finding Jesus. You know, today's parables show God's concern and compassion for us as sinners, as persons who have wandered off and have become lost. But note, as God, he does not round up sinners en masse, but rather seeks out sinners on an individual basis. It's personal. The good shepherd goes after one sheep. The woman searches diligently for a single coin. A father waits patiently and stands watch for his one lost son. You know, for us, losing $1 when we may have $1,000 does not seem like a significant loss. Nothing to lose sleep over. But to God, losing one soul that he created is a major event. Why we are so valuable that God himself comes to seek and find each one of us. The point is, he cares about every lost sinner who needs repentance. He truly cares about you and me. Now, the starting point for Jesus is grace. Searching, but not blaming. Finding, but not punishing. Rejoicing, not condemning. The first question for Jesus is not one of sin, a tally of who's in and who's out and who gets a dinner invitation. For Jesus, everyone is already in. Everyone is invited. The first question and primary concern is one of presence. Have we shown up, or are we lost and missing? It seems for many, maybe most, sin is a legal category that is primarily restricted to and declarative of physical behaviors rather than descriptive of conditions and relationships. It is seen as a judgment rather than a diagnosis. That is why it's often hard for us to hear this good news and rejoice at the meals Christ offers and shares with sinners, tax collectors, and ourselves. Interestingly, we often do not think sin is about us. I mean, compared to those other people, we think we look pretty good. Well, remember, so did the Pharisees and scribes. But for Jesus, the defining characteristic of sin is not misbehavior, but being lost. Notice the parables Jesus offers. These are not about being wrong. They are about being lost. A sheep is lost. A coin is lost. A son is lost. There is nothing about culpability, blame, or finding fault. That does not seem to be Jesus' primary concern. Rather, it's for the one that is lost, missing, and absent. Jesus does not explain how the lost one became lost. He does not blame or judge. That is not the point. The issue for Jesus is recovery and reclaiming the lost. Now, interestingly enough, note it is not uncommon for us to be really good and at the same time be really lost. Think about it. We could be good, hardworking, and successful in our career and still feel lost without a true sense of direction or meaning. We could be holding it all together and still be lost in the depths of grief and despair. We could be a good spouse, doing all the right things, giving all the right appearances, and still be lost in a loveless marriage. We can have a good reputation and be lost in questions of our own identity and purpose. We can be so busy and productive that we are lost to the wonder, beauty, and mystery of life. We could be financially secure and still be lost in fear. We can say and do all the right things and still be lost in a secret life that is self-destructive and hurts others. For us, Jesus has brought up the definition of sin. He has expanded the purview of grace. The Pharisees and scribes want to make it all about the character of the sinner. Jesus, however, makes it about God's character. That is the point of today's parables. They reveal God's character, God's grace, God's way of being toward us revealed in and through Jesus. That grace and character are revealed in Jesus' searching, finding, and rejoicing. Now, those are not three different things, three separate actions or moments in time, but rather three manifestations of God's one grace. They are the ongoing presence of God in Christ in each one of our lives. Depending on the circumstance of our lives, we may experience that grace differently, as searching, finding, and rejoicing. Ultimately, it means there is a place set for each of us at the table, because we do matter. We are desired, and we are important to God. Now, this Jesus, who welcomes sinners and eats with them, is constantly searching for us, finding us and rejoicing over our presence at his table. Now, most Catholics are quite familiar with St. Anthony of Padua, the patron saint of Los Angeles. Doing a search for this saint would yield countless stories about how asking for his intercession miraculously brings forth Los Angeles. I found three documented prayers to ask St. Anthony's help in intercession. Two are elegant, proper, and religious. But I like the third, which is a children's rhyme, simple and direct to the point. So let us pray. St. Anthony, St. Anthony, please come down. Something or someone is lost and can't be found. Between St. Anthony and Jesus, we can be confident that help is on the way. Amen.